me ask a question of you. Who's ready for the word? Because I hope y'all come hungry for the word of God this morning. I mean, Pastor's not here. And again, Pastor is doing such a marvelous work in his church that, man, it's just only a privilege that we get to give her a break and just continue to just testify about the goodness of God. I mean, he's going to continue to bless us with a word that comes straight from the throne room. And I have the awesome privilege of just announcing our speaker this day. I mean, this man of God is not just a man of God. He is truly a son of God in all representations of the word. He is an awesome father, a wonderful husband, a wonderful demonstration of those two. If you are looking at some father figures and a husband figure, that man right there is the man. I mean, he is just an awesome demonstration of what God can do through the light of being just someone that's steadfast on the word of God and living it out in his life. I get the awesome privilege to just not only just represent him as a son of God, father, I mean, a brother, accountability partner. This man is my man. I mean, we go way back. The bromance. I knew if I leave it out there, somebody would go there. But, hey, enough said. Pastor Alex, everybody.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. That ain't even right, calling him my bromance. Amen. How's everybody doing this morning? Amen. I am so excited to be here. To just worship with y'all. Worship was awesome this morning. Can we give a worship team just a round of applause? And in fact, you know, even before moving forward, I just want to acknowledge the amazing team that we have here at Rohi. In fact, the amazing teams that we have here at Rohi. To see, you know, the young people serve. To our ushers, our welcoming group, our AV team, our worship team. We have such an amazing group of people here that are serving, and so I'm just very grateful for y'all, and extremely, extremely proud of this church. Extremely proud of this church. Before moving forward, though, I just y'all are all family. Everybody here is all family. We know each other, but I want to introduce you to also my family. They're all sitting in the front row right here. Make sure you give them a hug and love on them. Make sure that you tell them that you're happy to see them. My sister-in-law Kim, my brother-in-law Richard, my nephews, my niece. So they're all here, and so make sure that they feel love before they leave. If they didn't get a hug, do y'all get hugs? Okay, all right, good, good. Because otherwise, we're going to have some trouble here, Rohi Christian Church. Amen. Who's ready for the word? All right. Well, let me tell you this. I am a firm believer in identity. One of the things that I recognize is that when you know who you are and when you know what your identity is, it is impossible for something to come in and tell you a lie about what you are and what you do. It is impossible for someone to come in and say, no, that's not you. It is impossible for someone to come in and lie to you about who you are when you know who your identity is. And I feel that as believers, sometimes we don't recognize who we are. And so this morning, I want to actually jump into recognizing who we are, because here is what the enemy does. How many of you guys know who the enemy is? He is the devil. He's a real devil. And he lies. Can you believe that? Can you imagine that? The devil lies, right? All the time. How often does he do it? Regularly. But here's the thing, is that he has zero power except what we give him. And the way that he uses it is by questioning our identity. If you ever go back to the first book of Genesis, you see what the enemy does. He doesn't come and he doesn't use mass weapons of destruction. He doesn't use his might. He doesn't use his strength. He uses his cunningness to question the identity of Adam and Eve. Did you really hear from God? Is that really what he told you who you are? How many of you had that question before? Are you really a Christian? Are you really a believer? Did you really just say those words? I can't believe that you would have the audacity to act like that if you say you were Christian. Right? Anybody ever heard that before? Boy, can I tell you some stories. You know, as a father, I am particularly sensitive about identity. And all you fathers that are here, I want you to hear me right now. You are an important voice to the identity of your sons and your daughters. What you say makes a difference. What you call them makes a difference. What truths you speak into your children makes a difference. Now, mamas, I'm not trying to get, you know, make you any lesser of what you're having to say, but I want you to recognize that when you're a daddy, when you're a father, when you step in and you tell your daughter and your son that they're amazing, that they're gifted, that they're talented, that makes a difference. There's something inside the heart of a child that just begins to well up when daddy says, you know what, man, I'm proud of you. You see, Jesus, of all people, get affirmation from his father. This is my son who I am well pleased in. And there's something that happened right at that moment where Jesus began to operate in power. And so, dads, if I can encourage you to walk away with just one thing, encourage your children today. Not tomorrow, not this week, but today. Encourage them. Tell them who they are. Remind them of their identity. I have two boys, Jordan and Caleb. Buddy, can you come up here for just a second? Is that okay? Yeah? This is my little buddy, Caleb. I didn't tell him he was coming up here, so if you guys can give him a round of applause. This is my little buddy, Caleb. I want you to know that Caleb here, and Jordan, in fact, they are just generous givers. One of the things that I recognize about this young man and his older brother is that they're extremely, extremely generous with their time, with their resources, with their finances, and I love it. But this one right here has a special gift of generosity. This one right here has a special gift of just recognizing when something is needed and stepping in and providing that, right? When his big brother, on his birthday, he gives his big brother, on Caleb's birthday, Caleb gives his big brother a gift. On the days where he has a little extra change in his pocket, he gives some to his brother. That's finances, but he's sitting here in the front row because his cousin is here with him, and his cousin needed someone to sit next to him, and he spends his time to just give that, you know, and it's just so special, and so I want to tell you, buddy, that I'm proud of you. I know that you have a gift of generosity, and I encourage that with you, and boy, does daddy love that, and so can you give him a round of applause? Now, he's generous, and my oldest is very generous, and I began to wonder, what is it about them two that they know that it's okay to operate in generosity? You know, one of the things is that a few months ago, you may have heard a testimony that my wife and I sharing about an experiment that we did of generosity. We basically tried to give as much as we possibly can when we went out to go and tip. And it was pretty ridiculous. Like, the credit card company called us up, and they're like, excuse me, sir, the bill said this much, but there's a whole bunch more money that was actually charged on the credit card. Are you guys okay with this? And so generosity is something that I try to model to my boys. Generosity is something that my wife tries to model to my boys. And I see it now, the fruit bearing, right? And we're not perfect. In fact, generosity for me has always been a struggle. It's really hard for me to give, because I never knew when I might be able to get it back. Right? Isn't that the struggle always with generosity? It's like, I'll give to you as long as I got it, but I don't know if I'm going to have it next time. So, you know, but it's been a challenge that God has placed on me. And today, the word that God has that I'm going to be sharing with you is really how to be generous, but not just generosity, because giving and finances is one thing, but there's two words that I want you to walk away with, everyone, and that is disciplined generosity. Disciplined generosity. Because do me a favor, turn to your neighbor and tell them, disciplined generosity. Turn to your other neighbor, tell them, disciplined generosity. When you guys say the word discipline, there's something about your faces that just cringes up. Like, it was like, disciplined generosity. You should see your faces from up here. It's pretty comical. Don't we just hate the word discipline? Right? It's just a terrible, it shouldn't even be in the English language, but it is there, and it's horrible, but discipline is what we're going to talk about today. Discipline, generosity. Do me a favor, open up your Bibles to Genesis 8:22, because that's what we're going to kick off today. Genesis 8:22. When you get there, say amen. You too fast. Hold on. All right. Genesis 8:22. Today we're going to talk about what it means and how to live a disciplined life. If you have Genesis 8:22, do me a favor and go ahead and stand. Go ahead and stand. We're going to read this all together in unison. We're going to read out of the New King James Version. If you don't have it, the words are available here on the screen. If you do have it, follow along in your Bible, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I can't read the screen from way back there. And so we're going to read along together. Genesis 8:22. Let's read together. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. Father, I just thank you, God, that your word says that your generosity will never cease. And you're disciplined in what you give us. There's never a day that we wake up wondering whether or not the sun's going to come up, because you are constantly generous. And you are disciplined in giving us what we need. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, hold on. Don't sit down just yet. I saw you. I caught you, didn't I? Turn to your neighbor. Tell them, it will never cease. Sometimes y'all need to, okay, you can sit now. Sometimes we need that reminder. Because in order to become generous, you have to know that it will never cease. It will never cease. The word discipline, Proverbs 12 in the English Standard Version says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge. Anybody here love knowledge? Then you should love discipline. Any kids here love discipline? Let me read on. You, man, I know you lying. Let me read on to tell you what Proverbs 12 continues to say. It says, but he who hates discipline, I'm sorry, parents, if you don't use this word around your house, but I'm going to use it. Because this is what the Bible says. He who hates discipline is stupid. What? The Bible says that? Yeah, it says a bunch of other words, too. But it says, watch this. If you don't like discipline, you're dumb. If you don't like discipline, you're dumb. Is what the Bible is trying to tell us. Why is that? Because the Bible knows that when you're disciplined in areas of life, that other things begin to line up really nicely against each other. Really nicely against each other. This is not in my notes here, but I want to share with you something. My wife has been on a health kick for a number of years. Everybody knows this probably if you know my family. And I have not. All this has been the harvest of all that not really caring. But lately I have... It was decided for me, and I'll tell you the story in just a bit, that I was going to start eating healthier. I was going to start going to the gym. I was going to start working out, making sure my body's right, you know. And I'll be 40 in not that long from now. And so there's a promise that I heard God say that I will keep you the way you are at 40 for the rest of your life. So I'm like, I got 2 years left to make sure that I'm good. That was spurred because I got food poisoning from the Wendy's down the street right here. And so I don't eat fast food no more, and decided since I'm not doing that, I might as well work out. Anyways, the interesting thing is that the moment that I started getting disciplined when it came to my diet and discipline to my fitness, everything else had to line up against that. In other words, I was disciplined in one area of my life, but because of that, I became disciplined in almost all other areas of my life. Because in order for me to go to the gym, I need to make sure my work is done. I need to make sure the kids are cool. I need to make sure that my wife is happy, because if I leave the house and she ain't happy and the kids are crazy, then we're going to have problems. Any husbands in here know what I'm talking about? Facts. Hashtag fact. I just learned from my nephew that they don't use hashtags anymore, by the way. So you're not cool if you use hashtags. The word discipline is translated or is defined as, I'm going to read three different definitions. We're going to post them up here so that you have them. The first one is to train oneself to do something in a controlled and habitual way, right? That's what discipline is. It's to train yourself to do something over and over again. The second one is to training that corrects, molds, it perfects the mental faculties of moral character. When you're disciplined, you train yourself to have a better mental faculty and a better moral character. In other words, you become a good person, right? The third one, and this is my favorite, a discipline is an orderly pattern of behavior. An orderly pattern of behavior. We're going to be talking about disciplined generosity today. Discipline is an orderly pattern of behavior. Generosity, do we have that? Is showing a readiness to give more of something that is simply necessary or expected. There are some of you that have the gift of generosity, like my little buddy Caleb here. Some of you have that gift of generosity. There are many of us who do not. There are many of us who we have to train ourselves to be generous, right? We have to train ourselves to give. We have to train ourselves to give time, resources, money, whatever. We have to train ourselves to do that. And disciplined generosity says this. It's operating in a pattern of behavior where you're ready to give more than is necessary or is expected. Can anyone look at Genesis 8:22 and recognize God's disciplined generosity? He says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest. No matter what, dude, seed time is going to happen and harvest is a promise. Where there's cold, I will give you heat. Where there's winter, I will give you summer. Where there's day, I'm going to give you night, and it shall not cease. Can you see the disciplined generosity over and over and over, that repeated pattern again? Anybody else see that? Or is that just me? All right, good, good. And so this is God's nature. Anybody ever walk outside and just wonder whether or not the sun's going to come up? Never. Maybe if you live like in Alaska, the sun might not come down, right? But you never wonder, dang, is the sun going to come up? Kids, you guys ever go to school and think, is the sun going to come up? Anybody? Never. You do? Yeah? Sometimes you wish that the clock would be faster, though, right? God's discipline and generosity is so good, he makes a day last just as long tomorrow as he did today. And he know I had a bad day yesterday, right? But I'm ready to get out of class. But his generosity is so disciplined, his pattern of giving exists always. No matter what, he's going to give it. Now, Genesis 8:22 is at the tail end of the story of the rainbow. You guys know the rainbow, the flood, and the rainbow that happened? For those of you that don't, let me fill you in just a little bit on what that is. The earth was destroyed by a flood. God gave a promise and said, I'm never going to do this again. And then he said that. Isn't that interesting? Do you guys know why the earth was destroyed? Kids, feel free. If you know, go ahead. Tell me. Anybody know why the earth was destroyed? Because folks was acting crazy. They were crazy. And God said, I'm going to destroy. And now that I've done that, here's what I'm going to promise you. I know you acted crazy, but I'm still going to continue to give you harvest and seed time. I'm still going to continue to give you cold and heat. I'm still going to continue to give you day and night. Someone needs to be reminded that no matter what you may have done, he will continue to be disciplined in his generosity to you. Always. 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 You see this pattern of behavior in God all the time. Everywhere you look in the Bible, you see this pattern of it, right? And there's this discipline that God operates, and he says that I'm not going to be less generous just because of who you are, just because of what you did last night. Somebody just got convicted. I'm sorry. He said, I'm still going to be just as generous as when you didn't do that mess. I'm still going to be just as generous the next day. Isn't that's like unbelievable grace. It's like, really? That's like the best coupon you can walk in with. Right? This is our Father's pattern of behavior. In fact, in Ephesians 3:20, I love Ephesians 3:20. And this one is the Passion Translation. It says, he will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. That is what God says he does for you no matter what. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God, if you're a son of God, if you're a daughter of God, he says, I will bless you unbelievably. Some of us see that. Or they hear me speaking, they're like, not my life. I've trusted God, but not in my life. That don't happen. Maybe you don't trust him just yet, where he is calling you to trust him at. Now, watch this. This is God's pattern. It's who he is. He's crazy about giving to us. But do you know that you've been designed to be just like him? How do I know this? Genesis 1. You throw that up there? Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. Who did God create man in? In his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. You were created just like he has always been. If he's a disciplined generosity, if that's his pattern, why are we not the most generous people on the face of this earth? I'm going to let that sink in for just a minute. If we are designed in the pattern of our Father, who is the most generous of all, why are we not the most generous people on the face of this earth? I have a theory. And that theory is that we have a mindset. We have a mindset problem. I would call it a poverty mindset. Right? And I don't mean poor. I don't mean you don't got money. Because there's people who are rich and have a poverty mindset. There's a difference between being rich and being wealthy. There's a difference between having a whole bunch of money and still being in a poverty mindset versus not having money and being in a place knowing that I'm a prince. There's a difference. You operate in a different place, right? You have been designed, though, to live a lifestyle of disciplined generosity. You have been designed to live a lifestyle that exhibits a pattern of behavior where you're ready to give more than is necessary or expected. Turn to your neighbor, tell them you've been created to be generous. Turn to your other neighbor, tell them you've been created to be generous. In fact, do this, proclaim this over yourself. I've been created to be generous. I've been created to be generous. I hope that you will walk away with that today. I've been created to be generous. Amen. But see, the problem is that we have this mindset that says, I don't have enough. I won't get enough. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough time to give away. And so I just cannot be generous. Do you ever think that God looks at his resources and just flips through his book and just says, yeah, times are tough right now. So we're going to hold off on daytime for just a couple of weeks. I have a feeling that don't happen. Where his checkbook says, you know what? I'm sorry, but I know you like to eat. It's kind of really nice for you to have, but checkbook just don't, right? Never does he look back at his resources and say, I don't have enough. Never. Never does he look at his resources and says, oh, sorry, I don't have enough, right? He never does that. But you're the son and daughter of a king. So why do we get stuck in this place of saying, I don't have enough? I think it's a mindset thing. It's probably a pocketbook thing because it's a mindset thing. It's probably an opportunity thing because it's a mindset thing. I didn't grow up in the wealthiest of houses. If that isn't obvious, maybe it is or isn't. I grew up, I remember we were sitting in my living room not that long ago. I'm looking at my living room and I'm realizing that seven of us lived in a double-wide trailer home back in San Diego, all piled up on top of each other. And I'm like, you know what? Despite what I grew up in, the promise that God said is that, no, he is still providing. He is still giving. He is a generous God. And he calls me to be his son who is equally as generous as he is, no matter where I came from, no matter how much I make or don't make. Right? And that's the mindset that I think some of us miss out on. He has a never-ending amount of stuff to give away, right? And here's what he says about you, 1 Peter 2:9. It says that you are a royal priesthood. You're royalty. Ladies, y'all are princesses. Gentlemen, y'all are princes. Yeah. You are the son and daughter of a king. Do you know what that affords you? Do you realize what that affords you? No, I'm recognizing that I'm trying to share with you something that may not be tangible right now. Because I want the light switch of identity to flip on. I want you to finally recognize, no. I know what my pocketbook may say right now. I know what my job situation may say right now. But I'm still the son of a king. I'm still the daughter of a king. It's an identity thing that I'm trying to flip in you today. Because if you can walk away with that identity, it don't matter how much you have in your pocketbook. It doesn't matter what your job situation looks like. You will never lack. You will never lack. Romans 11:17 says that you've been grafted into the fatness of the olive tree. It describes us non-Jewish Gentiles. It describes us, the ones who were not born into this royal lineage. It describes us as being grafted. It's where you take another branch and you put it onto a tree or onto a vine, and that tree or vine begins to take it as its own. That's what grafting is, right? And the Bible says in Romans 11:17 that you've been grafted into the fatness of the olive tree. Baby, I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good, because I didn't deserve it. And in fact, if I was planted on my own, in my little branch, nothing would ever come of that. But that's not where God left us. He said, the moment that I called you my son and daughter, I put you in the family. I put you in the family. Now, what is that? I'm going to go back to mindset, because this is such a place where we sit in this mindset. Anybody watch the royal wedding between, all the ladies and some of the guys, you're kind of raising hand a little bit. The guys are like, Meghan Markle, Prince Harry. Yeah, anybody watch this? I paid zero attention to the royal wedding when it happened. Absolutely no. I was like not interested even a little bit. And my wife was extremely into it. And I was like, I don't understand the fascination with Meghan Markle and the royal wedding to Prince Harry. Maybe y'all could fill me in after service as why it was a big deal. But I want you to see this woman right here, Meghan Markle. She is a biracial African-American woman who was an actress. I'm going to say was an actress. She was married to a director, grew up in L.A., with a single mama. All my single mamas up there? She grew up with a single mama, and she divorced her late husband, or her husband, previous husband. And her friends, anybody got girlfriends who are like, man, I got the perfect guy for you. You know, I can't wait for you to meet him. He's cute. He got red hair. He got a little beard. It's real nice. They never told her that it was Prince Harry from the royal British family. They hooked her up on a blind date, right? And so she met Prince Harry, fell in love. A year later, they were engaged. After that, they were married. And in 2018, in March, we celebrated their marriage. Do you think that Meghan Markle has the same mindset she had when she wasn't royalty? Do you think she acts the same way that she did before? She probably had, at the core, she's still herself, right? Right, she's still herself, but now she's royalty. Now she's a duchess. Now she's part of a royal line. So there are certain things that are expected of her that now she don't act like that no more. Because her husband is in line to become king of England at some point, and so there's a certain expectation of the way that she's supposed to act. Guess who you have been married to as a believer? We have given our life to Christ, the groom. We have connected ourselves as the bride to the groom. And we go back and we act the exact same way that we acted before we even got married to him. Same way. Same way. Got the same funky attitudes. Got the same nasty words. Right? Do you think that Meghan Markle, her outlook on the way things are, is a little bit changed a bit, right? She probably don't go to the grocery store and goes off when someone shortchanges her, right? She's like, dang, they might got paparazzis up in the place. They know who I is now. I may make my hubby look bad. Yeah. But the problem is that we don't recognize that we're royalty. You have been married into a family of royalty. There are certain expectations that need to happen. I don't know Meghan Markle, but I imagine that she had to make some adjustments to her life. She's not acting anymore. She's not an actress anymore because she's operating now in a different place. She's operating now as a duchess, right? And it's her choice. She could just be like, nah, boo, I'm going to do me. I don't care that you are sixth in line to the royal family. No, I don't care. I'm going to do me, boo. I'm going to live in L.A. by myself, right? Perfectly fine. That probably ain't going to last for very long. Because there are certain expectations that are placed on her, right? Why is that important? Because you are also royalty, and there are certain adjustments that as royalty you are required to make. And you and then you're like, well, I don't know why things aren't working out for me if I'm supposed to be royalty. Well, maybe there's some adjustments that need to be made. Maybe there's some adjustments that need to be made. Right? What are what are those kinds of adjustments? How about being generous? How about being generous? Right? What if she had to make a choice? Meghan Markle had to make a choice to make those adjustments. You have to make a choice to make those adjustments too. I have to choose to be generous. I have to choose to be disciplined in my generosity. I get the chance to make the adjustment or don't. And I either bear the fruit of the adjustments or I don't. Or I don't. You know, it's a mind shift situation. I need to tell myself, you know what? I'm going to be generous with my time. I'm going to be generous with my resources. I'm going to be generous with my money. I'm making a conscious decision to be that way. I'm going to be generous at work. I'm going to be generous at work. I ain't going to leave a little earlier than I need to. I'm not going to spend so much. I'm just going to stop right there because I just convicted somebody. But I'm going to live a lifestyle that says that I am generous because my daddy is generous, because the royal family that I'm a part of is generous, because it's expected of me to be generous because now I am part of a family who gives generously. It's a choice that you get to make. And just like Meghan Markle, we get an opportunity to make that choice, and we get the chance to make that a habit. We make ourselves available to that. Markle had to leave some things behind. We talked about her acting, but she had to be in a place where it's not just me, but there's a bigger picture of we. What I do doesn't just affect me, but it affects we. Right? There's a broader vision of who I am now, because now my broader vision encompasses a we. For those of you listening on the podcast, I just threw up the west side and the east side together to make the word we. You're welcome. Glad you got that image. You got to twist your middle finger. Anyways, okay. Podcast back to life. Okay, here we go. There's a shift in our mindset that needs to happen. Now, how do we do this shift in mindset? How do we create these patterns? I'm going to give you, is it five? I'm going to give you five areas of generosity to operate within. You guys ready for this? The first area is time. Make it a point to be generous with your time. Talk to people. Don't just ignore them, right? People that you wouldn't otherwise talk to. Talk to them. When we think of generosity, we automatically think money, money, money. No, time. People just need time, right? Where do you see this in the Bible clearest? John 4:6. Jesus is walking, and he is tired out of his mind. In John 4:6, Jesus stops at a well, tired, and he's like, man, boy, I've been walking a long time. I just need some rest for just a little bit. And just as he's at the well, can we put up John 4:6? Just as he's at the well, and he's now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore being wearied. Anybody know what the word wearied is? Kids, do you know what the word wearied is? Tired. That's like I'm tired, and then I'm real tired, and then I'm about to cry all night because I'm so tired. Kids, you know that one well. I know parents do. Wearied from his journey. And so he sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour of the day. And then in verse 7, a woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said, girl, give me a drink of water. This is how I read the Bible, by the way. It's real. But he is tired. He's tired. And he begins to talk to this woman by the well. And the story goes on that they begin talking, Jesus recognizes that this woman is living in a lifestyle that isn't pleasing and blah, 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 blah. And then I love at the end, because in John chapter 4, verse 27, it says that at this point, his disciples came and they marveled that he talked to that woman. Jesus took the time to talk to that woman. And his boys were like, I can't believe he's wasting our time just over here talking to that lady. I can't believe he knows we got to go. It's a 6 hour. And he over talking. But he made the opportunity to be generous with his time. Time. Someone needs your time today, this week, this month, to know that they're special. The second way is in our finances. Make it a point to give generously when you tip. This is a real practical place to be generous with your finances. When you go out to eat somewhere and they put a check down on your table, give abundantly generously. Experiment with it for just a little bit. All right? Experiment with it. I know some of you don't believe in tipping because they already paid them an hourly wage and I already pay for my food. Trust me on this one right here. Trust me on this one right here. Give generously. Do it one time. Just a little bit more than 15%. And then do it a second time, a little bit more than 20%. And then do it a third time. And then at some point, whatever you pay for your check, pay for your tip. So I'm going to get coffee. I'll just have a coffee, ma'am. I was sharing with you this experiment that we did where we just began to give generously. Whatever the tip said or whatever the bill said, we just gave, and that amount just kept growing. And we would do this at our favorite restaurant. It was a Thai place. It got so ridiculous that when we would walk into the restaurant, all of the waitresses and waiters were trying to trip over themselves to get our table. It was pretty incredible. Like, I'd never felt that way ever before. But if you want to feel like royalty, give crazy, ridiculous tips. You're going to be treated like a king and a queen, I bet you. You think I'm playing? But wait till you give ridiculously. Like, they're tripping over themselves. We would walk into the restaurant, and they're like, you want the regular? Yeah, they already have our order placed in the back. Like, we ain't waiting. They're putting us at the table in the front. I felt bad when we ended the experiment. We don't go back to that place. No, I'm kidding. But give generously, right? Establish a pattern of being a blessing. Acts 2:44 says, now all who believed were together and had all things in common. And 45 says, and they sold their possessions and goods, and they divided them among themselves, and no one lacked anything. The church was generous to the church. And I'm not saying give during offering. I mean, that's a great place to do is tithes and offering. But watch this. When you see a need, meet it. Meet it. You see somebody needs a little something, give it to them. Pastor Jeff, the founder of this church, I love because he always carried cash in his pocket. And I never understood why. And then one day, we were somewhere, meeting somewhere, and he just pulled out these wads of $20 bills. And he just started, he was a couple guys out there. He said, hey, my brother, hey, let me just go ahead and bless you. And they will walk away blessed. And I recognized right then and there that there is such an opportunity of gifting that I didn't understand just yet. Proverbs 16:18 says that a man's gift makes room for him, and it brings him before great men. One of the things I recognize about Pastor Jeff is that he never lacked great men around him because of his gifting ability. Never did he lack great men around him. Never did he lack great men saying good things about him because he always gave a gift. People will translate that word gift in there as talents or as my skills. No. That word gift, the Greek word or the Hebrew word that's actually used there is the same word that's used for physical thing that you're giving to someone. physical gift that you're giving to someone. It says your gift, when you pull out your pocketbook and you give to someone, that brings you around great men. Some of you don't have good friends because you ain't good gifters. Hey, that's cold, Alex. I challenge you to be a good giver. The third one is grace. The third one is grace. This is John chapter 8. I'm not going to read all this. But there was a woman who was caught in an adulterous relationship. The Pharisees were like, Jesus, this woman right here, she's an adulteress. Do something about it. And Jesus, he drew a little line in the sand and was like, all right, well, cool, no problem. We can do something about this. And he just waited. And he said, I'll tell you what. If any of you have never sinned, go ahead and throw the first stone and go ahead and take care of this sinful woman. He waited, 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 waited. Then he asked the lady, he's like, hey, anybody still around? Anybody stone you yet? She's like, no. Nobody stone me. And he said, all right, no problem. Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go on and then sin no more? Do you know that that's what grace is? She deserved stoning. She deserved death. You know what we deserve? The same exact thing. Who said that? Yeah. The same thing. But God says, no, I give you an abundant amount of grace over your life. Our responsibility is to take that grace and use it also wisely with the people around us. Forgive? Well, that's my next one. But grace says, I forgive you. I don't mean I'm going to come back and do the same, you know, be a dummy and be in the same position. But I forgive you. Right? It don't mean that I'm going to put myself in the same position to be hurt, but I still forgive you. Grace says it's undeserved mercy. They didn't deserve it, and I gave them mercy anyways. I guarantee you that when you operate in a place of grace, there's going to be no problem operating and aligning with disciplined generosity in every other place. The fourth one is encouragement. 1 Timothy 4:12. This is Paul writing to his buddy, to his son in the ministry. 1 Timothy 4. And he says, Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth. You're a young guy. You're a young cat. You're out there, you know, leading other people. I want you to be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. And then he says in verse 13, he says, now, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. He just reminds him, hey, man, just keep doing what you're doing. Keep doing what you're doing. And I love this next one, this 14th. He says, don't neglect the gift that's in you, which is given to you by prophecy. Someone needs an encouragement that's around you. They need to know that they have a gift. They need to know that there's gold trapped all up in this right here, and they don't see it yet. They need to know someone else sees it. They need to be encouraged where they're at right now. Fathers, what I was saying at the beginning, see the gold in your children and begin to call it out. If you got a problem with your coworker, this is going to be the hardest thing in the world to do this week. See the gold in them and call it out in them. See the gold in them and call it. I had a problem with one of my coworkers years ago, and we just, man, it was oil and water. And then one time, my wife, bless her heart, I really did not like her telling me this, but she's like, why don't you just tell him something nice about him? I was like, that's stupid. Oh, dumb. Sorry, I can't use that word. The Bible says it, but I'm not good. I was like, that ain't right. I'm not going. And so the next day, I'm talking to him. I was like, hey, man. I don't know. We were listening to some music and something. I just began to just compliment him or say something nice about him, recognize a gift in him. Something changed in him immediately. And all of a sudden, we became not buddies, but at least we're cool now. There was just something that kind of smoothed over. But there is something that's just transformative about encouragement. Some of us don't get it enough, and some of us don't give it enough. The fifth one is forgiveness. Mark 11:25 says, whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive them, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. If you're harboring forgiveness in your heart, I want to challenge you to be in a place to generously give forgiveness today. Why do we do that? Not because they deserve it. Not because they all of a sudden change the way that they act towards us. No, no, no. We do it because my daddy forgave me, and all I'm doing is I'm just giving that back away. That really is what grace is. They don't deserve it, but I'm giving it to them anyways. Now hear me. Because sometimes people will say this, and then you'll walk away and be in a relationship again that you're not supposed to be in. I'm not saying put yourself in the same relationship that you were in because you forgave them. Forgiveness, believe it or not, is for you. It ain't for them. Forgiveness is not for them. It's for you. Forgiveness puts you in bondage because every time you see that person, you're like, here we go. And they probably don't even know that they even got a problem with you or you have a problem with them. But forgiveness or unforgiveness puts you in a state of poison towards them, and they probably don't even know it's even happening. Right? Some of you need to forgive your fathers, your mothers, an ex, your kids, your parents. Some of us need to live in a lifestyle of saying, you know what, I forgive them. I don't understand what they did, but I forgive them. I don't understand why they would do that, but you know what, I do forgive them. That will free you. That will free you from having to worry about that over and over again. And watch this. Our Father does the same thing to us. I forgive them. That's the place that we get to operate in. Do me a favor. Go ahead and stand. I want to pray over you. This week, as you go along, I want you to live in a pattern of giving generously. I think sometimes it's important that we recognize that we're not living the pattern that we're supposed to be in. Sometimes we just need to be reminded of who we are. We need to be reminded of our identity. But I think something that's also equally important is being anointed to move. There are people who have the gift of generosity. I believe that Caleb has that gift. I believe there's other people around you who have that gift of generosity. I believe that God has given me now that gift of generosity. And what I want to do is today, I just want to anoint every one of you with that gift. Can I just do that right now? All right, do me a favor and just lift your arms. If you want to receive that gift, just lift your arms right now. Yeah. Lord, I just speak generosity over every single person that has their arms raised right now. God, that they would be willing and active in pursuing the pattern that you've already set for them. I anoint each person with their hand raised with a gifting of giving. I anoint them right now to be able to be placed within people and in situations where this challenge becomes real to them. And through their gifting, God, that you would place them among great men. I hear right now that some of you are waiting for a raise or for a new role, a new position. And he's saying the only reason that that's held up is because you're not operating in the gift of generosity. And so I anoint that person right now to operate in a place of generosity, to operate in a place of gift giving. Not because they have a lot, but they know to expect much. Because, God, you are one of abundance. And so right now, God, I just proclaim over each and every person that has their hand raised that you have called them to be generous, that you have called them to be gift givers, that you have called them to be forgiveness givers, God. Lord, that you have called them, oh God, to give resources away because we are children of a God who is on high, who looks down and says, those are my children. These are prince and princesses of a kingdom who doesn't lack, who has abundance. And so I speak that over you right now. I speak that over you right now. That you would walk away from this place, not challenged, but encouraged. Not beat up, but willing to make an adjustment because of the royalty that you're a part of. Some of you, this is hard to fathom what this looks like. And if you haven't given your life to Christ, it's real hard to accept something like that. If that's you this morning, I don't need you to come up here. I don't need you to walk up. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray this prayer over yourself. In fact, we're going to pray this all together today. I want you to say, Jesus, and we're going to do this all together. Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my everything. I call you my Lord, and I call you my Savior. And Lord, I accept your forgiveness of all of my sins, and I walk in royalty today, in Jesus' name, Amen. If that's you, if that was you this morning, and that's a prayer for your heart, and you're ready to give your life to Christ, and you've done that today, before you leave, come on up here and let us know. Prayer team, can I have my prayer team come on up here? Let me have my prayer team come on up here. Now, if there is a place in your heart where you're saying, you know what, I want to live generously, but there's just something in me that just isn't free to do that right now, our prayer team is up here, and they want to release that over you as well. And so come up here. Get prayer. These people here, I'm looking at our leadership team, our prayer team, are some of the most generous folks that I know. The only reason that I'm generous is because I see these folks giving all the time, and I'm like, you know what? If they can do it, I can do it. The only reason I'm able to anoint you with generosity is because I've gotten it from everyone up here. Every person that's up here has a gift of giving. And so come up here. If you are in lack of a gift of giving, let's give that to you today. All right? If you're still having a problem receiving that anointing, let's give it to you today. Our prayer team is going to be up here, and they're going to be praying for folks. If you see someone up here and they're praying, leave them alone. Let them pray, okay? All right? And so, I am in awe of knowing what God is going to be doing in your life because of your disciplined generosity. God is going to do some amazing things because you have lined up and made adjustments for what you've been called for as royalty. Now, if you believe that, give your neighbor a high five. Give him a high five. Yeah, yeah. And this week, that as you walk away, that as you go into grocery stores, that as you go to work, that as you walk into the gym, because I'm going to be doing that regularly. Because this discipline, that people will know that you're blessed, that they would know that you are highly favored. I just right now speak a blessing over each of you, that may the Spirit of God rest, rule, and abide over you. May His forgiveness lead you into a pattern of forgiveness. May His grace be abundant over each of you. May generosity come out of every conversation that you may say. And that wherever you go, when people ask you how you're doing, may your response be, in Jesus' name, you are dismissed. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer, come on up here and join us for prayer. But you are dismissed. Love you guys. Have a fantastic week.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, Spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.